And if you got a Bible, you can be turning with me to the book, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. I want to talk to us about the one thing, but one thing is needed. And, you know, this is Brother DJ leading in front, singing. This is Miss Gracie over here on that pretty pink guitar. And that lady that sang that, all that power, is Miss Gabby. We got a Gabby involved. They got one. And I'll tell you, Gabby's are a blessing. Amen. And we appreciate him. And that's Brother Darry in the back. And that's Jonathan. Yesterday was his 15th birthday. So y'all mess with him, tell him happy birthday before he gets out of here again. And then the head roadie chief mom is Miss Pam in the back. There she is now up front. See, she's all over. And then her one she's mentoring is Miss Taylor back there with DJ. And that's his better half. Amen. And they make up. We are called. And they got some stuff in the back. If you enjoyed that music, there's CDs, there's all kind of other stuff. And you're not just producing and buying stuff. You're helping every time you buy something to keep them on the road. And I don't know about you, ain't they worth getting in some churches? Churches need to hear that it's fun and it's awesome to be in the house of the Lord. So today I'm primarily preaching to Christians, but I want you to understand something. That the one thing needed to get saved is Jesus. You can have a lot of other stuff and you can do a lot of things and you can try all kinds of other ways to get to God, but there ain't no other way but through the cross of Calvary. The only thing that can prepare you to be able to be in the presence of God is the blood of the Lamb that washes away your sins, and you'll never know Him in the relationship that He died for you to have till the Spirit of God comes inside your heart, and Jesus Christ lives within you. Paul called it Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so that's the one and only thing that is needed to be saved. You don't have to trust Jesus and go to church. You don't have to trust Jesus. You turn from sin, turn to Jesus, put your eternal hope in Him. And what Jesus is able to start, He is able to finish, and He will complete it into the day of Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm confident in that. And I believe if you ever meet Jesus, you're going to be with Jesus. Amen? Because Jesus is going to be with you. I've tried to get away from Him. How about you? He don't let you get but so far, and you never, ever truly get away from Jesus because He's a Savior. His name is that awesome and powerful. But I want to talk to people who are saved today and who are serving the Lord. And if you look with me here, that's an awesome passage. God brought this to my heart, my attention Friday morning, and He brought it to me first. And it worked on me, and I hope today it'll work on you. Amen? If you look here, it was a familiar family. Two sisters, we all know, Martha and Mary. Mary was that same Mary that went and took an expensive perfume. We hear that in the 11th chapter of John. And she was the brother of, we all know who, my mind went blank, Lazarus, thank y'all. And they are a family that is entwined within the life of Jesus that you hear a lot about. And so they were intimately connected with Christ. I imagine Martha had fed Jesus more than this one time. But Jesus is coming, and I don't know about y'all, but is Jesus welcome in your home? Because I hate to tell you, if He ain't welcome in your home, He probably ain't in your heart. And He don't want to just live in certain compartments of your life. He wants to live in every bit of it. And when Jesus shows up, it's always a good thing to welcome Him in. And listen what it says right here as we start. Verse 38, chapter 10, the Gospel of Luke. Now it happened as they went that Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. One translation, she was distracted with her many tasks. And she approached Him and said, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus didn't do what she expected. Jesus answered at her and said to her, Martha, Martha, that wasn't a term of endearment. It was a rebuke. It was a wake up. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. That's where we get our title. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away. Therefore, Jesus did not do what she wanted. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just have already got an awesome presence here. I pray you'll bless this time of study, that you'll open your word and open hearts, and that you'll use it for your purpose and your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, guys, in John chapter 11, verse 15, the Bible says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And guys, if someone loves you, they tell you the truth. What I love about Jesus, he don't tell you what you want to hear. He always tells you what you need to hear. And friends, you got a lady here who has a desire to be a blessing to Jesus. She welcomed him to her house. She's wanting to cook him a meal. But guys, there's something that happens in Martha's life that she probably never was even aware of until Jesus confronted her with her problem. But Mary says, the Bible says that Mary also, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I want you to know something. There's no better place. There's nothing better you can do in life than spend time with Jesus. To get saved, the one thing needed is to come to the cross, to meet the Savior, to have his blood applied to your life and his spirit put in your heart, or you won't never go any further than Baptist religion and play church. But once you're saved, to serve him, to live a life of godliness, to be changed like they sang about, that where once you was, you're not anymore. I forget how it went. It's something like that. But anyway, it's not going to happen just because you go to church on Sunday unless you spend time with the Lord every day. And guys, there's nothing better you can do for the Lord than sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his word, spending time daily with him. What happened to Martha? Martha got distracted. She didn't get distracted with doing sinful, earthly, worldly things. She got distracted doing a good thing. She was cooking biscuits and chicken for Jesus. Amen? Said, how you know that? I don't know that. But I bet you I like biscuit and chickens, and whatever she was cooking, I bet Jesus would have liked to eat too. But here she is doing a good deed. She's doing something for Jesus, which should bring joy, which should bring fulfillment, should make you feel like the purpose for why you are created and why you were saved is being fulfilled in your life. I'm serving the creator of heaven and earth who left the throne, came down, and took my sin and my shame and died for me. And now I get the privilege, the honor, the awesome blessing to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what I'm going to do now, though, is because some people ain't helping me. Because I got news for you. If you're going to serve Jesus, it ain't easy. And you won't last two foggy minutes doing it in the flesh. Good intentions do not accomplish good results or eternal fruit when you serve the Lord. And a sure sign that you ain't spending time sitting at the feet of Jesus is when people who are serving him are looking at everybody else complaining about them and they're not focused on what they're doing in the name of the Lord. When somebody is more worried about the person over there than themselves, I can promise you one thing, they ain't sat at the feet of Jesus lately. Because when you sit at the feet of Jesus lately, first of all, you're going to know what he wants you to do instead of what you want to do. And Jesus is never going to burden you and give you so much stuff in your life that it distracts you from spending time sitting at his feet, listening to his word. If your life is so busy that you're religious, you got a lot of spiritual activity going on, but you're not doing the one thing needed. You don't get up every day and start your day sitting at the feet of Jesus. They don't have a place in your life where Jesus knows that person loves me. They're going to get up. They're going to discipline them lives for the time to give me adequate amount of their affection and their attention so that I can impart and give my life to them. Because you're not going to get the life of Christ manifested in your life by just coming on Sunday. By running like the Bible said in the book of Daniel. In the last days, Daniel, people's going to be busy running to and fro, and times are going to be harsh. And friends, if there's ever been a time where the people of God are running to and fro, and they're not spending time with God and really spending time with Jesus, but they're trying to do the work of Jesus, we're in those times. I'm a pastor, and I'm going to tell you at the end of this sermon how I come to know this message, because we love to be busy for Jesus. But it's obvious in this passage that being busy for Jesus does not always equal doing what Jesus wants us to do. And friends, listen to this. But Martha was distracted. Serving Jesus became a distraction in Martha's life. Now, how do you think about that? I'm a preacher, and I'm like, I'm trying to stay busy for Jesus. What was the sign that serving Jesus became a distraction? Well, I want you to think about this. According to Jesus, serving without sitting in his presence and hearing his word is a distraction. If you're doing things in church that keep you from opening the word of God on a regular basis, if you're so busy with the things and the things that you've allowed to become part of your daily routine that you very seldom, and I understand grace. I'm the preacher. I don't get in the word on Monday. Because I've had to preach two sermons. I've been with y'all ministering. So Monday I get up, I kind of pray and thank him for what happened. And if something didn't happen, I pray him for the things that I wish would have happened. And sometimes things happen I wish wouldn't have happened. But I just get up and say, Lord, thank you for another Sunday. Thank you for, Lord, being at our church. But boy, I tell you what, come Tuesday, I'm going to be with Jesus. And I don't know about you, if you don't have that discipline in your life, Jesus is not with you the way he wants to be. Because you can't be running through life all distracted with all the stuff out there and all the voices that's crying for your attention, listening to the message and the philosophy of the world, listening to secular music, watching secular entertainment, never ever getting alone to hear his still, quiet voice. God's not going to scream over all the garbage you want to put in your life. He's going to let it get to you to the point you get like Martha, a nagging servant. I'm serving Jesus. I'm cooking him dinner. But Jesus, you see, according to Jesus, not only did serving without sitting in his presence and hearing his word is a distraction, but listen, love for God is expressed best in listening and responding to what Jesus' words have been telling you, not in busyness doing things for him that he ain't even told you to do. And we got people all over that do things that they ain't heard from God. Their life is so overwhelmed that they're overwhelmed and they're just burdened. And then they want to find a reason for why what they're doing for Jesus isn't giving them joy, why they're not walking in victory, why in their heart they're unsettled. So they look around like she did. Well, her sister's just sitting over there. She ain't doing nothing but praising Jesus. Jesus. So distraction from Jesus became sinning. How did it become sinning? Well, listen, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. Anytime you're worried and troubled, you're not right with Jesus. Now, I'm here to tell you, there are troubles. Jesus said, he said, be not discouraged, for in the world there is much tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. And guys, listen, when you lose the peace of God, I'm not talking about peace with God. When you got saved, you got peace with God. You're no longer condemned. You're no longer an enemy. You're in the family. You're a child of God. You're adopted in. You're now his child. So you got peace with God totally by his work on the cross. But peace of God comes from spending time with God. And when you hang out with God, all hell could be broke loose around you. And there's peace in your heart because you've been with Jesus that you can't even understand or explain. Not because of everything's going the way you want, but because you've been with the one who's got it all in the control of his hands. And he's been speaking to you. I know it's difficult. I know you're in a valley, but I'm with you. You're not by yourself because I spoke to you this morning. Ask Billy Graham, how do you know Jesus is alive? He said, because I talked to him this morning. And they looked at him like he was a freak. And he said, and he talked to me. Friends, I don't know about you. When's the last time you heard Jesus? Disrupt your life. Interfere and interrupt your agenda and introduce you to his agenda. Because he's got one for you. And it won't turn you into a Martha. It'll first make you into a Mary. You see, until you really hear from God, you got to start with the one thing needed. We want to serve him and then find him. When you find him, he'll tell you what to do. He'll show you how to do it. And then he'll give you the grace to do it where you'll do it with joy. You'll do it with purpose and fulfillment. And your life will feel like it's making a difference because God's got you where he wants you. Think about this. Jesus said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own troubles. Listen what he said to her when she said that. It says in verse 40, but Martha was distracted with all her serving, her many tasks, one translation says. And she approached Jesus. So here it is. She's approaching Jesus. I don't know about you, but when you approach Jesus and Jesus comes into your presence, there's nothing wrong with praying to Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do. But you don't tell Jesus what to do, even in your life, much less in your sister's life or your brother's or your fellow church members. That's between them and Jesus. Now, we are to tote Scripture and we are to help them accountable, but you got to be real careful. It's a real close place between being a legalistic Pharisee and a liberal don't care what you do. There's a balance that comes that can only be maintained and handled correctly when you've first been sitting at the feet of Jesus and you've been in the presence of Jesus. You walk where Jesus told you to walk. You're connected to Jesus and Jesus leads you. If you just run around connecting with everybody, straighten them out for long, no one's going to be. I imagine Mary. You know why I think Mary was over there? She'd been living with Martha. Jesus, help me. You ever lived with a Martha? You ought to pastor them. But friends, they'll make you get in feet of Jesus. Jesus, I need a word. Encourage me. They after me. All I hear is, Jesus, they can't be sitting with you. Jesus said, you just sit with me, Marvin, you'll be all right. But friends, I want you to think about it. She said, Lord, do you not care? Friend, that's the first thing that tells me she ain't been around Jesus. Anytime I get around Jesus, it don't take me but a few seconds to know. Boy, it's tough. It's hard. I don't understand why it's happening to me. But I've never, ever got into Jesus. Now, I've walked out there and got where Martha's at. But when I came to my senses and I went and got where Mary's at, I always, first thing he lets me know, I care. I care. I know what you're going through. I'm not up here in heaven unannounced. You don't have to tell me. I orchestrated it. I allowed it. I'm sovereign, providential, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Yes, this is happening in your life because you need a wake-up call. You need to realize that fulfillment ain't found in what you do. Purpose and meaning comes from what I do. And when you're sitting with God, he's going to do it through you. But listen to what she says. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? She ain't helping me. I'm all by myself. You ever felt like that? If you serve Jesus, you're going to feel like that. But you see, that tells me another thing. She ain't been around Jesus. She ain't alone. Because if you're serving Jesus, doing what Jesus is telling you to do, it don't matter what everybody else. Everybody else can sit and do nothing, but you're going to be all right because you're doing it with Jesus. See, too many people in the church is doing things for Jesus instead of doing things with Jesus. And there's a big difference, my friend. Because when you're doing it with Jesus, you're never alone. You're doing it for Jesus, he's going to leave you alone if he didn't tell you to do it. If he didn't put that on your agenda and you made it yourself, you get too busy for Jesus. He's got a way of letting you get burdened to the point of, man, I got to go sit at his feet. I got to go hear from the Lord. And I want you to look at that. Not only did she think he didn't care, not only did she feel alone, but she got so far from God, she began to tell Jesus what to tell other people to do. I've done come to the conclusion, if Jesus told you to do it, then you need to do it. Don't come tell me to find somebody else to do it. Because if Jesus brought it to your attention, then it must be you the one he wants to do. I don't need a relay station, amen? Jesus is able to speak. Pray for me. Pray God keeps me hearing from him. Pray he keeps me sitting at the feet of Jesus. But if you heard all the opinions you got to hear as a pastor, you'd be wondering, how can everybody be hearing from Jesus? Because they're so vastly different. They're so vastly opposed to one another. A lot of people, impossible that they heard that from Jesus. Because this one's saying we need to do this. This one's saying we need to do that. And we all unified in one spirit, in one accord, in Jesus. How's that? But I can tell you how you can stay unified in Jesus. You keep sitting at the feet of Jesus. You spend daily time with Jesus. Jesus don't make mistakes. Jesus don't need us to tattletale on one another. He's totally able to use his Holy Spirit to convict and use his word to lead us in unity together under the cause of Christ. And friends, there's so many churches that's so unsettled. They're a bunch of Marthas. All they do is worry, whine, complain, and tell what everybody else ought to be and ought not be doing. Friends, I don't know about you. I'm so thankful when we get to heaven. You are what you are. And you won't have to worry about all that no more. Because we'll all know what to do. You know what you do in heaven? You sit at the feet of Jesus for eternity. and you love it. Why? Because that's what you were created and put into existence for. Not only on earth, but eternity. You know what I found? It gets bad sometimes. It gets hard. I got to complain to myself sometimes. But if I go complain to Jesus sitting at his feet, for long he turns my complaining into praises. And friends, listen to this. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, Jesus said, is the one thing needed. It's the most important thing. There's nothing more important in a Christian's life than having his life ordered to where he's not so busy he can't be distracted to the point he's not having quality time with Jesus. Now, guys, do y'all think being married is important? So while I'm telling you this, I want you to turn, because Jesus showed me this Friday morning. I'd got back Wednesday night, Thursday. I was having a wonderful time in the revival, preaching every night, hanging out with my best buddy in the Lord, Brother Marty, every night, with this group every night, getting up, doing nothing but where we eat and what we eat. Okay, 11 o'clock, kick back with Brother Marty. We go eat at 11, hang out with them and eat. We go do fun stuff, good stuff. We even got to go white perch fishing one morning, caught a big mess of slabs. I'm telling you, it was a good day, relaxing time. But you know what? Preaching every night, if I'd done what they done, I'd have to reorder my life. Because all that good stuff in revival, praying, we prayed. But actually, it was a distraction, because that whole week God showed me Thursday, you ain't spent time with me, Marvin. You've been serving me. You spent a lot of time preparing for that week. But this week, you haven't been with me. And boy, I started like, oh, so Thursday, I kind of watched what I did. I got it. DJ got here Friday. And Friday, I done got a word from God and was working on this sermon, because I had another plan I had planned before I even went to the revival to preach. But God said, no, you listen to me. You preach what I'm telling you to preach. So I went out to my shop. I'm sitting out there. And as I'm sitting out there, I'm thinking about what all's coming. Got DJ in. Well, I call him DJ, but that's who I talk to the most. But We Are Called's calling. They're going to be here this morning. I got to get up to the office, check in. I got all this stuff to do. And God's speaking to me about all this. So he gets here. And it took my whole day. I didn't think it would, but it ended up, I ran home for a little while and was playing with the tractor a little bit. I am going to confess that, grinding a stump or two. And they called, we're here, we're here. So I run up here and we spent the rest of the day. By the time I got home, that day was gone and I was tired. And so I went to bed. And I was like, the next morning, he asked me, what are we going to do Saturday? So I got up and I told him, I got to get along with God. I got to get this word settled. I got to get it ready. So I got up and I got all that. And in my flesh, I wanted to go call DJ, because he said, what could, I said, man, let's go do something fun. Let's go hang out. Let's go. And DJ even said, if you ain't got nothing to do, holler at us. But every time I'd think that, God said, no, spend time with me. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, y'all know me. I like talking. I like hanging out with people. I'm a people person, believe it or not. But Jesus said, not today. I went and sat out in that shop again. Diane had left. I was sitting there. God began to have time to redirect me, speak to me. Now, guys, I want you to think about this. How important is it from hearing God direct our life if he's Lord? If we're his sheep, we got to hear his voice for him to lead us and shepherd us. And so I'm sitting out there, and I've been thinking about all kind of stuff. And so he's directing me to this sermon. He's directing me to this sermon. And this passage I found, and it blew my mind, because I'm going to tell you what I was arguing with him about, not just that message, but I was arguing with him about that shop and what I'm going to use it for and how I'm going to use it to glorify his name. And I've been praying about it, and I got it all set up to have a men's Bible study. And I'm proud of it. I ain't going to lie. It's awesome. I've been blessed. And I got it all decorated with American flags and Jesus stuff and trying to make it look like a spiritual place, a man place where men can hang out in Jesus' name and have a good time in Jesus. And I'm going to get all these people to come here, Jesus. I'm going to host a Bible study, man church, maybe even Bible study. Jesus, as plain as I'm sitting here, said, no, you're not. I got all this, Jesus. You listen to me. I didn't call you to host a man church Bible study. You got enough to do. I called you to pastor Bethany Baptist Church. You got priorities. You got responsibilities. I got men that can handle a band church. I got plans for you here. I'll let you know. You just keep sitting here with me. Boy, I got up. Ooh, Jesus. I wanted to go get on the tractor because I was ready to get away from that because that wasn't my plan. And friends, listen, Jesus brought me to this passage. Good things can distract you. There's nothing better than having a wife. Amen. Who's married? Now, if you're married, you better raise your hand. And ain't nothing better than having a good husband. Wives, that's your turn. And if you ain't married, you might like this passage. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This passage will blow your mind. Do you know Paul warned that your marriage can be a distraction from devotion with the Lord? And he even said it might be better to remain unmarried if you really want to be truly sold out to Jesus. Now, I can promise you, if you married an unbeliever and you love Jesus and they don't, you're going to wish you didn't get married. Because I'd rather be married to a believer that loved Jesus than anything else out there that they offer that ain't got Jesus. Because when they ain't got Jesus and you do, you're unequally yoked. But listen to what Paul says in this passage. This is pretty good. Good stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at verse 32. Listen to what Paul says. But I want you to be without care. Now when he says, I want you to be without care, he doesn't mean we're not supposed to care about things, but we're not supposed to be concerned with cares. And if you look at another translation, it says it like this. I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. So that's what he's saying. I don't want you to be burdened and overwhelmed and distracted with the concerns of this life. So listen to what he's talking about here in verse 32. But I want you to be without care. I don't want you to be burdened with the concerns of this life. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord. He's talking about a Christian. How he may please the Lord. You know, when you're unmarried, all you got to do is serve the Lord. But listen to what he says in verse 33. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And man, I ain't going to get here, but sometimes it's hard to please your wife. And if you ain't pleasing Jesus first, I can promise you, you won't please her. You might as well learn it. And ladies, if this offends you, I'm sorry. Jesus overrules you. And men, it's the same for you. If your wife ain't pleasing Jesus, she ain't going to please you. And I want you to see what it says right here. He says in verse 33, but he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Look at this, verse 34. There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. Some of you is going, what's that? A virgin, he's talking about an unmarried person. I love how the Bible just assumes that an unmarried lady is a virgin. Amen? That may offend you, but that's God's plan. Especially you young ladies. If you're unmarried, you ought to be a virgin. The Bible says to be a virgin is to be unmarried. Thank God he'll forgive you, but that's what it says there, and that ain't me, that's the word. And listen to what he says. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin, an unmarried person. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, but she may be holy both in body and in spirit. See, you got to be holy in body and spirit. And listen to what he says. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. As zero on verse 35, this is the verse. And this I say for your own profit, for your good. Not that I may put a leash on you. I don't want to restrain you, he's saying. I'm not trying to overbear you, but for what is proper. And then look at the last part. It brought me to my knees, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. If you let your life get so clouded with activity that you're running here, there, it is a fool who will take on every opportunity that comes his way to serve the Lord. It is a worse fool. It's a selfish fool who don't do anything for the Lord. I don't know which one gets you more trouble. Because everyone's got something to do for the Lord. But you can't do everything. You're not expected to do everything, but you're expected to do something. What is it? What God's got a plan for you to do. And he says right there that you may serve the Lord without distraction. Boy, I tell you what, I said, praise God. I got enough of it. I'll never Bethany take care of. Lord, he said, that's right. You take care of that, and I'll take care of you. And when you got something else to take care of, I got for you, I'll let you know. Don't listen to other men. Although they have input, you should check out what they're telling you. And he said, but there's only one thing needed, Marvin. And you're doing it. You're sitting here taking time to get quiet and listening to me. And I won't tell you, I haven't done it near as much as I should. But there's nothing better than sitting in the presence of Jesus, listening to his words and letting him have authority and guidance over your life. He says there's only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her. That's the New Living Translation. Martha, Martha, you all worried and you're all tore up over all these things, but there's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and I'm not taking it from her. Not for you, not for the church. You sit with her. See, she thought Jesus was going to tell Mary to come do what she's doing. But in reality, Jesus told Martha, you get over there and go do what Mary's doing. We don't like that, do we? That's why he ain't Lord of your life. That's why your life's all in a ruckus half the time. And there's no peace. There's no settled, good life. Everybody's life needs restraints. And everyone's life needs boundaries. Everyone's life needs a schedule. The man that is wise will guard his days because the days are evil and you only get one chance to use them. The most valuable thing in this room is not our money. It's our time. When this day is over, it's gone. You can't get it back. Every life has one chance, one opportunity to live for the glory of God. And the devil will let you down. Living for self, a lot of people want recognition, a lot of people want money, but in the end, why do you do it? You can only answer that correctly if you sit at Jesus, because our hearts are so wicked, they'll deceive us. Only God understands our heart. And boy, what a privilege when you do it because you've been with Jesus, and Jesus has been with you, and he told you to do it. One other thing, there's nothing that gives you more confidence in believing that God's going to use what you do when you know Jesus told you to do it. And there's nothing that'll make you double check and doubt what you're doing when you just go to doing something, never hearing from Jesus, never got a word from Jesus. You just decided to start a ministry and then it don't go the way you want. Then you want Jesus to come and bless what you started that he never had anything to do with. We got to get spiritual, folks, or we won't go very much further. Everybody that's doing ministry will get tired, will get burnt out, will get distracted to the point you even look at your brothers and sisters and say, why ain't they doing what I'm doing? You know why? Because Jesus didn't tell them. He told you. So what I want us to do today is to say, one thing we can all agree on, we need more time with Jesus. Amen. Just think if we spent every day starting it out. If you haven't done this yet, give him 15 minutes. I promise you, if you give Jesus 15 quality minutes every morning, first thing, before long, you'll give him 30. Before long, you'll be arguing with him. God, hey, I got to go to work. We all got stuff to do, but let's do it knowing Jesus is in charge. Amen? So I'm asking you, church, give your life and give your time and let Jesus have control. It would make a difference in every family, every home, every church if we did this. Would you stand with me, Brother DJ? What we going to sing, brother? You coming? He's going to come and lead us. I'm going to pray, and the altar's here. Good place to maybe come and say, Lord, I'm coming to recommit. I'm coming to bow before you to say, I want to be with you. I want to bow in your presence. But right now, listen, you can't bow. You can't sit at the feet of a Jesus who's never saved you. And so the way you come to Jesus is at the cross. The cross, not the church. You meet Jesus at the church, but he brings you to the cross. So if you need to come, come now and be saved. I'm waiting here. Shelby's waiting here. Just come up here and we'll show you the gospel and tell you how to know that you've been saved by the grace and provision of God. And then you'll want to sit with him, I promise. Father in heaven, bless this invitation time. Thank you for a wonderful morning. Now finish it up for your glory by changing lives. Making people humble enough to admit we need you, Jesus. We ain't been spending time with you. Help us this morning, Lord, to renew and restore our love, to spend time with you, Lord, to be in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.